upcoming season.
The Big Board's mock draft and speculating are over. The 2017 NFL Draft. Coverage begins April 27th at 7 Eastern and the 28th at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 0202 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to harrys.com now and enter code 0202 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com. Code 0202.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company with a family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for production operators. All you need is a high school diploma and great work ethic. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
Got some property to take care of? Let a Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help you get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today. To find your local Kubota dealer, visit iowakubotadealers.com.
Kenseth smacks the rumor mill.
Also, I'm just glad that I'm still driving tomorrow. I wasn't sure after all the reports, I guess, are on the internet all weekend, blowing me up during my Easter vacation.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
In order to maximize a vehicle's performance and efficiency, the proper adjustments need to be made based on the road ahead. That's true for both race car drivers on the track and for truck drivers hauling freight on the highway. But if your truck's equipped with a Detroit DT12 automated manual transmission with intelligent powertrain management, adjustments are made automatically based on GPS terrain mapping, maximizing performance and efficiency. Don't just want better business solutions, demand them. Learn more at demanddetroit.com.
Live sports are the one true reality entertainment, where a single dramatic moment can become timeless. In NASCAR, Motor Racing Network's live broadcast elevates your senses to the sights, sounds, and struggles taking place on the racetrack.
Danica Patrick to the front of the field at Talladega. They are side by side behind her. Jimmy Johnson.
The power of radio to the imagination of the listener. Tune in to the Motor Racing Network. Visit MRN.com for an affiliate list in your local area.
Matt Kenseth is not retiring. Speculation swirled after Joe Gibbs Racing scheduled a press conference for the 45-year-old driver at the NASCAR Hall of Fame today, but it turned out the team announced a six-race sponsorship deal from Circle K stores. Kenseth says now the Gibbs bunch needs to get back to their winning ways.
We've ran bad at tracks we historically run good at, which definitely for me is a concern. Really the only time I think for me that I'm, I guess, not, you know, concerned about it is as soon as we turn around. I think until that, you're you know, as a driver anyway, you're concerned.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series heads to Bristol this weekend, where Kenseth has four wins. Read more at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn underway. Kyle Mann, our associate producer this evening, going to be a very busy man at the bottom of the hour because we're going to give somebody an opportunity to win four tickets to next Wednesday's Cedar Rapids Colonels game. Colonels are going to be taking on the Burlington Bees. We'll do it inside the 6 o'clock showdown. They're home tomorrow to open up a week-long homestand. Kane County is the first team to come in. They take on the Cougars over the next 4 days. That'll include a Z102.9 Mug Club night game on Friday. Kane County, managed by former Boston Red Sox skipper Butch Hobson. Colonels taking 2 of 3 from Peoria earlier this week, but boy, did the Chiefs get the better of Cedar Rapids today. 21 hits, everybody in the lineup, 1 through 9 with at least one hit. And why did they play that game at 11 o'clock today? Because they needed to vacate the building for Bradley baseball tonight. Bradley taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. First pitch there coming up a little bit later. We'll tell you all about it before we get off the air tonight. No Minnesota Twins baseball on 107.5 FM. The Twins rained out today against the Cleveland Indians. They're going to make that up, I believe, Saturday, June 17th. June 17th is the date for that. It'll be a day-night doubleheader. So all three of our frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa, will go to ESPN programming tonight. At KGYMradio.com, we've got a poll question for you today asking you what the most interesting development to come out of Iowa City was. Earlier today, we'll give you 5 options. Emil's Hideaway is behind Taco John's and next to Home Depot on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids. You were in Iowa City earlier today. What would your vote be for most interesting development among the 5 options? Kirk's thoughts on two-a-days, Drew Cook's move, the playing of multiple tight ends, the emergence of Nick Easley, or the fact that Stanley and Uyghurs are still neck and neck. And I guess there's another option on there, too. I forgot about Akram Wadley in space, not to be confused with Muppets in Space, but Brian Ferentz says Akram Wadley is going to be used a little bit more in space next year.
I was a little bit surprised to see Kirk show up to the press conference today. I didn't know he was going to be speaking, and then B, have strong thoughts on the exclusion of two-a-days by the NCAA.
We'll ask our next guest what he took away from Iowa City today. Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times joining us as we gear up for Friday night's spring game at Kinnick Stadium. And Steve, what did you think the most interesting bit of news to come out of Iowa City was this afternoon?
Well, certainly I think Kirk's comments and his disdain for the way things kind of transpired in terms of the elimination of two-a-days was certainly interesting conversation he left no stone unturned there. He doesn't like the change. So, that from a big picture standpoint, that was kind of interesting, and it certainly will impact things as Iowa moves towards the fall. But, I think there's kind of a sense with Drew Cook's situation that it was somewhat inevitable. He certainly wasn't getting much traction in terms of climbing the depth chart at quarterback. And as Kirk put it today, this gives him a chance to help Iowa win football games much sooner than he would have had at quarterback. So, I think that's potentially a big piece of this puzzle for Iowa.
On the subject of quarterbacks, Brian Ferentz said today that Nathan Stanley and Tyler Uyghurs are still pretty much neck and neck. Is it your expectation that it's probably going to be this way right up until the Wyoming game in September?
Well, I certainly think at least until mid-camp. I don't think either of these two guys have separated themselves, and we certainly saw that in West Des Moines a couple of weeks ago. Kirk even referenced it today, said that it would be a situation right now where, if you're going to pick one, you might as well just throw darts at a board. And Ryan did allude to the fact that both of those guys seem to be making some headway. It's not a situation where, somebody has stepped back or anything like that. It's two guys learning a new offense who are both making some pretty solid progress. So, I think from that standpoint, that's probably a good thing. I think it's a situation that they've tried to encourage at a number of positions throughout the team. They want that competitive situation to kind of push everybody forward. And whether Stanley emerges as the guy or Uyghurs emerges as the guy, I think they feel like they've got two guys that they can be fairly successful with. And, it's just a matter of who's going to show the most consistency between now and when they ultimately do have to make a call.
When Nathan Stanley's red shirt was lifted and he was named the backup quarterback, the assumption was, and this has been well documented, but the assumption was that he would be the front runner for the starting position. You mentioned the new offense. Do you think that that might be the biggest reason for the competition right now, or did Uyghurs kind of jump into their radar again?
I think it's twofold. I think certainly Uyghurs, I think, has probably moved forward. It's an open position right now. There wasn't much motivation for Tyler Uyghurs last year. He was coming off of a year of being the number two guy. Nathan Stanley was new and different. The other thing you've got a whole new set of eyes on these guys. You've got Ken O'Keefe as the quarterback's coach. You've got Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator. So you've got people looking at different people in different ways at this point. And I think that's one of the things that it's a fresh slate for a lot of guys at a lot of positions. And I think certainly quarterback is one of those. And the fact that, there's no incumbent there, it's provided both of those guys with some motivation. And the new offense certainly, I think, probably has created a situation where both of those guys are, at least initially, were lacking much consistency. And we certainly saw that in West Des Moines. The receivers who were out on the field that night were, being asked to field some one-hoppers at times. And it's a work in progress, and I think it's going to remain that as Iowa moves into fall camp.
Steve Batterson joining us from the Quad City Times. You can read his work at hawkmania.com. What do you think we're going to see Friday night under the lights at Kinnick Stadium? It sounds like it's going to be a little bit more of an actual game setting. Obviously, they're doing that because they want to get on the BTN network, even though it's going to be tape delayed. But you personally, what are your expectations for Friday?
Yeah, I think we'll see the offense be a little more fluid than what we saw a couple weeks ago in West Des Moines. That's traditionally been the way it's worked. I think we're going to see, a couple of backup running backs in Akron Rabade and Torin Young, who are both very capable, running behind a line that is fairly veteran. And that's something we may see quite a bit of this fall until those receivers have a chance to kind of grow into whatever roles that, may be. With no Germanic Smith out there and with no Matt Vandenberg on the field this spring, it's a challenge at the receiver position right now for Iowa. Certainly that's played to the advantage of a guy like, Nick Easley coming in from Iowa Western. It's given him an opportunity. What they're really looking for is they're looking for Devontae Young or Adrian Falconer to kind of take that next step. And, for them to do that on Friday night, I think would be certainly a step forward for both of those guys. They've been around a couple of years now. The system is still a little new for these guys too, like it is for everybody else. But at some point, if they're going to be contributors at Iowa, they need to kind of take that next step and get to the next level and make some plays as playmakers. We haven't seen that from either one of those guys yet.
You bring up Nick Easley, and you're not the only one. Every offensive coach has done so throughout the media availabilities in Iowa City this spring. What do we know about the junior college All-American, and what are you waiting to see as far as what he brings to the table is concerned?
Well, we found out today that his offers out of Newton High School were William Penn, Grandview, and Missouri Western. One of the things that he wanted to try to do, and he's not alone in this. A lot of guys will matriculate to Iowa Western because that's a program that has a history of developing guys and sending them on to pretty high levels. And, he's a guy who put up some really solid numbers at the JUCO level last year. He's got a little bit of that ability to kind of be a pretty solid, dependable receiver. He's one of those guys that has continued to impress the coaches at Iowa with his work ethic since he arrived on campus. He's a little bit of a weight room junkie, he said today, and that probably has benefited him. He's a guy who has played his way into an opportunity. And Brian Ferentz said today that he may be in line for more snaps than what he actually envisions right now. Which tells you something, that they've been pretty pleased with what they've seen from him.
Gut feeling, Steve, is Germanique Smith still in the picture with this team in the fall?
I think so. I think he's got some pretty detailed things that he needs to get taken care of this spring academically. If he does that, I think he's back. I think Iowa needs him. I think that it's a situation where, you know, they don't take these things too lightly. My guess is this probably wasn't the first issue. But it was made pretty clear today by Brian that, you know, they want guys doing things the Iowa way 24 hours a day, and that would include showing up at class and study tables and that type of thing. If he gets his academic house in order, he'll be back, and frankly, along with Vandenberg, the Hawkeyes need him.
We were breaking down wide receivers and tight ends today, and tight end is a position where there seems to be a lot of depth, and Brian Ferentz talked about it today, wanting to feature some 2 and 3 tight end sets. Do you think that they're going to have to do that more out of necessity this year with a somewhat of a lack of depth at wide receiver?
I think it's part of it, and I think the fact that they've been able to use it effectively on rare occasions. We saw it at Ohio State a couple of years ago. I think it's a way for Iowa to move the football. And, you know, especially if an athlete as good as Drew Cook moving into that situation, and you're right, there's plenty of depth there. You know, he's going to have to work his way up the depth chart there. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Hawkeyes in some 2 tight and 3 tight end sets over the course of this season. And I think the large reason why is because it's a way for Iowa to move the football and be an effective offense. And when you lack depth at receiver, which Iowa certainly does, it's just another way to add to your arsenal and give teams something else to think about and create some mismatches for sure.
Have you written your Jake Gervais feature yet?
I have not.
Do you plan on doing that Friday night?
He's a guy that, you know, he's in a situation right now where, you know, he's being asked along with Imani Hooker to kind of battle for what was expected to be one of the few solid spots in the secondary. With Brandon Snyder going down a free safety, it's a pretty critical piece of the puzzle on the back end of the Iowa defense. That's a position that they've always relied to be kind of the quarterback back there, and you've got to get it right. You've got to get, you know, you've got to make those quick split-second decisions. You've got to, you know, be on top of things in terms of recognition and that type of thing. And, you know, Jake's is a great athlete. He was a good high school athlete, a multi-sport kid at Assumption. He and Snyder kind of had parallel movement up the ladder. I think they both moved onto the depth chart last year for the first time in the fall. And, certainly Snyder, embraced that opportunity, made the most of it. And now they're looking for either Jake or for Imani Hooker to kind of be that next guy to do that, at least until Snyder can get back out on the field.
Steve, in your opinion, is the offensive line more important to the offense with the lack of receivers and the inexperience at quarterback, or is it the front 7 more important to the defense with the injuries and inexperience on the back end of that defense?
Well, certainly, I think, you know, I think the with the inexperience that they've got in both of those areas, both components are pretty critical. But you're right. I mean, defensively, Iowa's front 7 looks to be a pretty solid group. If they can get things figured out in the middle, which I think they will, and part of that comes down to, you know, when Nathan Budgeta can finally get over that kind of high ankle, leg thing that has really been bugging him since really, you know, probably late October, early November last year. If they can get him back, I think his defense has a chance to be something fairly special, especially given some shortcomings or at least some inexperience on the back end. We've seen some of those guys have played pretty well in spot play. And this may be a defense that's going to have to be able to limit opponents to minimal points because it's going to take this offense maybe a little time to get things going in the fall.
Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times, we appreciate it as always. Steve, we'll see you at Kinnick Stadium Friday night.
You bet. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Read his stuff online at hawkmania.com. I grew up reading Steve, and it's really fun now to consider him a colleague and a friend, and does a tremendous job over there along with Don Doxy and the rest of the staff at the Quad City Times. But I think there's some question marks, and I don't know whether we're going to get answers for him on Friday night under the lights at Kinnick Stadium, but it's always fun to be talking about college football in the middle of April. And
yes,
I like the fact that Iowa the last couple seasons has gone to this late start in March, which pushes spring football into the middle and later parts of April.
Well, for the last 2 years, we've gotten some pretty bad weather. No, actually, last year it was really nice. The year before, and the year before that, some pretty awful weather. It's going to be all right, it looks like, on Friday. Low 60s and sunny by game time. One of the notes that we didn't touch on and that kind of got buried today with all the talk about the new offense with Brian Ferentz and then Kirk Ferentz coming out talking about the new NCAA legislation. One of the notes that got buried was Phil Parker gave a little bit of an idea as to how they're going to use A.J. Epenesa moving forward.
You know what? I failed to mention that. I've got it down here in my notes in front of me. 25 to 30 plays, I think, is the ballpark figure that Phil Parker put out there. Now, there were some people almost instantly reacting to that on social media, worrying that they're setting the bar too high, that they're putting pressure and expectations on him, that they're not quite sure that he can come in and play that right away. I think this kid can set foot on campus and be a star almost immediately. I've seen enough of him on tape and have talked to enough people that have watched him in high school and look, obviously the pedigree is there and the recruiting services are all over him, have been for a number of years. This kid is going to show up on campus and they're going to drop him right on that defensive line. And Phil Parker, who's an old school guy, Phil Parker is the type of guy that you would normally expect to say, well, he's going to come here, he's going to have to earn his stripes, he's going to have to work his way out of the field.
To a certain extent, he did.
But when Phil Parker says, essentially, they've already got a plan in place for 25 to 30 snaps for A.J. Epenesa, the writing is on the wall.
And it's funny you say that, because he prefaced his statement with, oh, well, he has a lot to learn, he's just a kid, we don't want to rush him,
Coach speak.
Oh, but by the way, we're going to put him out there for 15 to 25, possibly 30 snaps per game to start out his freshman year. So just hearing this coaching staff talk over the years, if they put any kind of expectations at all on a true freshman who is coming straight out of high school and not there for the spring practice period, not graduating early, then you know he's something special, or they think he's something special.
We'll find out, I guess, when Iowa takes on Wyoming in the season opener, a tough Wyoming team coached by Craig Bohl. So much has been said about Iowa's non-conference schedule that I think people may be in for a little bit of an eye-opener when they kick off the 2017 season at Kinnick Stadium, but you can bet A.J. Epenesa is going to be right there in the middle of the mix. He will not be on Friday because he's not even on campus yet, but the guys that are, I know, are itching and raring to get out there and be interested to see just exactly some of the plays that they, situations that they put Akram Wadley into on Friday. He's out, right?
Yeah, No contact for him,
so we won't get to see too much of this, which adds another layer to the mystery of we're going to use Akram Wadley in space next season, which may or may not be a little bit of a decoy, but I've seen a lot of NFL draft people looking ahead down the road and breaking down film of Akram Wadley, comparing him to current NFL running backs. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's a little bit of an X factor here, and I'm not going to say Greg Davis is backward thinking or stodgy in his offense, but I think Brian Ferentz is the type of guy who's forward-looking enough to know what they have in Akram Wadley and to know how to use him. Now, that being said, his comments about Akram Wadley and some of their expectations for him and what they need to do, it's really interesting listening to the coaching staff talk about Akram Wadley, because for the last couple years, it seems like every time they say something positive about him, they sort of try to temper expectations, or they talk about, well, he needs to add weight, or he needs to do this, or he needs to do that.
We have the cut of that, and we'll get to that in just a second. But he was asked, Brian Ferentz was asked if there's going to be a 1A or a 1B, and basically the way that there was with LeSean and Akram last year, and he answered that. But like you said, he hinted at this sense that there's a possibility that there could be two running backs on the field at the same time. And that's genuinely what I'm interested to see with Brian Ferentz's offense. I think it's going to feature some wrinkles, some more, I don't know, adventurous formations where you have certain personnel on the field. The key words that he used today were, when you have your best players, your best athletes, you want to get them on the field as much as possible, whether that means having two tight ends or two running backs or three or four receivers. If the receiving core was in fact deep, you just want to find a way to get them on the field. And that's what I think they're going to do. We'll see, though.
Two tight ends, two running backs, two quarterbacks, five offensive linemen. Put them out there. Why not? No wide receivers at all. Which
run
is
the single wing.
Actually may be a little bit of what Iowa looks like on Friday, given the fact that they're down to just a couple wide receivers. And I do think Nick Easley is going to have a lot of eyeballs on him from Hawkeye fans sort of projecting their hopes onto him. He stepped up and certainly, by all means, sounds like he's taking advantage of the opportunity that Jermaine Smith gave him. Now, as Steve speculated, he thinks Jermaine Smith is still going to be in the mix in the fall, but Iowa really trying to send a message to that young man by taking him completely out of all of these spring football festivities, practices, open practice, spring game, everything, focus on the academics, and we'll see whether or not that pays off, what type of decision that he makes moving forward, but they would still very much like to have him on the team. We do have that, by the way, Brian Ferentz. It's the only cut from today from Brian. We've got more of Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker that we'll bring to you tomorrow here on the program. But here's Brian Ferentz talking a little bit about the running back situation and Akram Wadley.
You know, I'd say Akram's our starting running back. He's our most productive guy. He's got the most experience. We feel really good about the two young guys that have gotten plenty of work, which has been a real positive. But between Tokes, right, and Torin, we like those guys. We think they can carry the ball in the Big Ten. Is there going to be a 1B? I don't know if it's going to be quite what you saw last year. Boy, you'd like to get Akram a lot of carries. But we talked about matchups, and you know, Akram's a guy that's pretty good in space. So maybe you create some matchups where he's in space and you've got another guy in the backfield, right, that can carry the ball. So I don't know if it'll be true 1A, 1B, but we anticipate those guys carrying the ball a whole bunch. And based on my experience, we're going to need them all. That's just been kind of the way it goes. It all sounds pretty good right now, 1A, 1B, 1C, and then pretty much, you know, November you got one. Whoever survived the landing, you know.
Who will be 1K? That's what I want to know. I want to get deep, deep down onto the depth chart. I don't think we'll do that much digging Friday at Kinnick Stadium under the lights. By the way, join us at Coach's Corner beforehand. We're going to be there for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Happy hour will start at 3 o'clock. We'll be on the air beginning at 4. We'll get you ready for the spring game, tell you everything, virtually everything, most of what you need to know as you get ready to head to Kinnick Stadium. The gates will open at 6 o'clock on Friday. The festivities, the game itself, whatever they're doing, however they're doing it, is scheduled to begin a little bit after 7. 7:06, I think, is the start time. And they are going to broadcast it on the Big Ten Network. It's going to be tape delayed. John Campbell in the booth alongside Chuck Long and Danan Hughes. So Hawkeye fans who are unable to make it to Kinnick Stadium on Friday, still going to get their fix of the Hawkeyes via the BTN. Very much one of the reasons why Iowa decided to do this on a Friday night as opposed to doing it on a Saturday where it may or may not have been lost in the shuffle. It is 6:30. We're going to step aside very quickly, get caught up with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then just minutes away, your opportunity to win 4 tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels next Wednesday night as they take on the Burlington Bees. We'll need 2 contestants for the 6 o'clock showdown. That's coming up in just a little bit. Back after this.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's yards. Doug has a nice shiny sold sign for your yard, and he plants them faster than a John Deere plants corn in the spring. Time is money, and Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Planting season is almost here.
Back with you to put the finishing touches on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn tonight. Just under half an hour remains. MLB underway. Action all across the board tonight. Yankees up on the White Sox 2-0. Cubs and Cardinals both winners earlier today. Cubs coming from behind to beat the Brewers 7-4 on a three-run walk-off home run by Addison Russell. Dexter Fowler poked a couple homers for the Cardinals. They beat the Pirates 2-1. Got to mention that now because there's not even room for all of that on the Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We start in Iowa City, where Kirk Ferentz made a surprise appearance prior to coordinators Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker meeting with the media. What's announced earlier today? Well, Drew Cook is now officially a tight end. That move had been speculated on for quite a while. Ferentz also said that he is not a fan of the NCAA's proposed rule doing away with two-a-days, but he does like the fact that Iowa and Iowa State have agreed to get together on the gridiron through the 2023 season. CBS Sports' John Rothstein reports that Memphis guard Markel Crawford plans to visit Iowa State sometime in the near future. The graduate transfer averaged 12.8 points last season for the Tigers. The Cedar Rapids Colonels got belted by the Peoria Chiefs in the finale of their three-game series this afternoon at Dozier Park. The Chiefs avoided the sweep with a 15-3 win in downtown Peoria. They had 21 hits. Every member of the starting lineup hit safely at least once. Colonels back home tomorrow night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They'll play the first of four games against the Kane County Cougars. Iowa is scheduled to face Bradley tonight at 7 o'clock in Peoria. The Hawkeyes have won 11 of their last 14 games. Drake Robeson gets the start tonight. He's 2-2 on the year with a 5.79 ERA. Hawkeyes are 6-0 in midweek games this year. They've won 19 straight, stretching back to the 2015 season. Before our next break, we need callers number 1 and 2 right now for the 6 o'clock showdown. Your chance to answer 7 questions in 60 seconds. You'll win Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets to next Wednesday's game. 319-366-1600. That's 366-1600. Callers number 1 and 2, we'll find out who our contestants are after this.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
We learn with our hands. Ask anyone who's done something for long enough, and they'll tell you the best way to learn is to do, to move, to change. That's why we created Night School at TeamValvoline.com. It's a hands-on approach to DIY where experts demonstrate a variety of services and repairs that both a seasoned pro and a brand new DIYer can appreciate. Visit TeamValvoline.com today. Plus, when you buy 5 quarts of Valvoline motor oil, get a pair of mechanics wear gloves free.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
6:37, and we've run into a little bit of a snag. We had Jim in Coggin ready to play on Alex's team. Jim dropped off the line, so we need a second contestant for the showdown right now. First person to call 366-1600 will take Jim's place tonight in the showdown. Again, 366-1600, first caller jumps to the front of the line to take on Shane in Norway, who's going to be playing with me this evening as we wait for the phone line to ring. 366-1600. Let's go ahead and roll the intro for the show.
It's coming!
Like all of history's great battles and that one episode of Seinfeld,
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
All right, we mentioned Shane in Norway. He's getting ready to be on my team. You're passing your questions.
I'm going to be the second pick for as long as I can prove.
I don't necessarily think that that's the way that things are going to work.
Are we still keeping track of who wins and loses?
No, okay, it doesn't matter. You know who wins? The listener who takes home the prize at the end. That's the way that I like it. Chris in Iowa City is going to be with Alex tonight. Gentlemen, it's very simple. 7 questions in 60 seconds, and whoever has the most answers at the end is going to take home, again, the tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels and the Burlington Bees next Wednesday night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Alex, I'm going to allow you and Chris to go first tonight.
All right, Chris, I have 7 questions for you from Todd. Do you have any questions before we start?
Nope.
If you don't know the answer, say pass. Your 60 seconds begins right now. Kirk Ferentz is not a fan of what proposed NCAA rule change? The Colonels fell at Peoria today 15-3. Who is Peoria's MLB affiliate? Minnesota and St. Louis meet tonight in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. How many games have the Blues won so far?
2.
Both of the men's and women's winner at this year's Boston Marathon were from what country?
Kenya.
Which of the following NBA teams does not play tonight? Multiple choice. Golden State, Atlanta, Portland, or Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
Which of the following D3 championships will not be held in Cedar Rapids in the coming years? Golf, baseball, volleyball, or wrestling?
Volleyball.
And over under 175, Tim Tebow's current batting average.
Over.
Kirk Ferentz is not a fan of what?
Ran out of time. He's got 2. Hey, we've seen it win before. Shane, how confident are you?
Maybe.
I love it. You sound like you're ready to step up to the plate and knock this out of the park. Let's reset the timer. Alex, are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's go. Which Chicago Bulls player had 11 points, 14 assists, and 9 rebounds in their Game 2 win over the Celtics last night?
Pass.
Shareef O'Neal, son of Shaquille O'Neal, has committed to play basketball at what Pac-12 school? UCLA, USC, or Arizona?
Arizona.
Which Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder was suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball yesterday for testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs?
Martel?
Starling Marte. I'm going to give it to him. Which NFL player crashed Press Secretary Sean Spicer's press briefing today at the White House?
Pass.
The NBA has fined Dave Fizdale $30,000 for his criticism of officials following his team's Game 2 loss to the San Antonio Spurs. What team does Fizdale coach?
Bucks.
Which ACC football program caused a local news station to recreate its spring game using stick figures by not allowing the media to take video? Talked about it on yesterday's program.
Pass. I didn't see.
Okay. Well, we've got us an old-fashioned tie here, 2-2, which is good because we have a tiebreaker left over from Alex's question. First person to say their own name is going to have the opportunity, if they know it, to guess here. If you're wrong, the other person wins. So if you think you know the answer, say your name, and you're getting first crack at this. Which AL East team currently holds the worst record in Major League Baseball coming into action today at 2-11? AL East team.
Shane. Chris.
Shane.
All right, Shane.
Toronto.
You got it. Blue Jays. 2-11. Appreciate the playing tonight, Chris. Thanks for calling and picking up the slack left by Jim and Coggin. Shane, we're going to put you on hold. And Kyle, our associate producer, is going to get your information and get those Colonels tickets to you one way or the other. Again, the game next Wednesday against the Burlington Bees at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I believe that's a 6:35 start time. Colonels back home tomorrow night. They open up a homestand with Kane County in Burlington. Cougars are in for four, and then it's the Bees. Let's go ahead and give a quick rundown of the incorrect answers, the ones that people skipped or missed. What former Bulls player had 11 points, 14 assists, and 9 boards last night in their Game 2 victory over the Celtics? A good hint would have been that he once played for the Celtics. At least he played offense for them. He didn't play much defense, especially the last couple years that he was there. That would be Rajon Rondo. Rob Gronkowski stuck his head into the White House briefing room today. The Patriots visited the White House, the first pro team to do so, celebrating a championship with the new president. Dave Fizdale is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. How cool was this to see the players saying that they're going to cover the $30,000 fine? If you're a player, you've got to like that, knowing that your coach has your back. And as we did discuss yesterday, Louisville did not allow media to film the spring football game at Papa John's Stadium, and that allowed one Louisville TV station to get extremely creative in bringing highlights to its viewers over the weekend.
Kirk Ferentz is not a fan of the end of two-a-days when it comes to the NCAA rule changes. The St. Louis Cardinals are the Peoria Chiefs are the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate in the Midwest
League.
He
guessed Cubs, and they were at one point in time a Cubs affiliate. They're back with St. Louis now.
Minnesota and St. Louis meet tonight in Game 4. The Blues have currently won, or up to today, have won 3 games in that series. And Tim Tebow's batting average is below 175.
Where are the daily updates?
At 156.
He's hit 2 home runs, and it's all over Twitter. Where are the daily updates when he's striking out and not getting on base? 319-366-1600. Let's go back to the Blues and the Wild here, because you really haven't talked a whole lot about this. Understated tonight, St. Louis has an opportunity at home to close this series out. You are not wearing anything Blues-related whatsoever.
It's a first, I know.
I know, it's a little surprising. I actually had to check the schedule to make sure that they still were playing tonight. 8:30 start time, another one of these genius 8:30 start times for two teams
that are a long night
in the Central Time Zone. Do the Blues close it out tonight, Alex?
I sure hope so. I'm still trying to figure out how they're up 3-0 in this series. They really haven't outplayed the Minnesota Wild by a lot. And you look at the St. Louis Cardinals winning 6-3, basically, against the Pittsburgh Pirates, cumulative through 3 games. It's been very much a similar story for the St. Louis Blues against the Minnesota Wild. Two 2-1 victories, and then a 3-1 victory on an empty netter in Game 3. So the Blues are in the driver's seat right now. They've done a great job of playing defensive hockey, keeping the Wild out of the scoring areas, and Jake Allen has been outstanding. If Jake Allen can stay in the head of the Minnesota Wild, I think that the Blues have a good chance to close it out tonight, especially if they can get the first goal here this evening.
The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs continue on tonight. There are four games on tap, including two of them that are underway right now. You've got Washington and Toronto. The Maple Leafs are up 2-1 in that series. That game started at 6 o'clock tonight. And then Ottawa and Boston was a 6:30 start time. The Senators are ahead 2-1 there. And then the late game, even later than the Wild and the Blues this evening, will be Anaheim and Calgary. Anaheim has a chance to close that out. The Ducks are up 3-0. Right now, Washington looking like they're going to even that series with the Maple Leafs. They are up 4-1. It's still the first period, but they've got a commanding 3-goal lead. They are just underway in Boston. The Bruins and the Senators are scoreless. In the NBA tonight, 3 games on tap. You've got the Hawks and the Wizards underway right now. Thunder and Rockets tip off at 7 o'clock, and then Golden State looks to take a 2-0 lead against Portland. The big story in the league last night, the Bulls beating the Celtics 111-97.
I thought that the Chicago Bulls, as I said yesterday, would have a chance to win a couple of games in this series, and now all of a sudden they're looking like the favorites heading home with a 2-0 lead. And it just brings up so many questions about the Boston Celtics. You know that they have Isaiah Thomas, who is one of the best scorers in the NBA, but other than that, that team does not look like a number one seed. Any number one seed that I've seen in my lifetime, they don't have any front court presence at all. Robin Lopez is destroying Kelly Olynyk. They don't have a secondary scorer. They're not particularly good defensively. The Chicago Bulls right now look like the better team, and look like the better team by a considerable margin. And that's pretty shocking, because I got a chance to watch the Chicago Bulls a little bit more this year than I have in the past. They were so inconsistent during the year, and I would have to say that there were more downs than ups during the regular season for Fred Hoiberg's squad.
We have gone the entirety of today's programming without mentioning the news of the early morning, and that's the fact that former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez was found dead in his jail cell this morning. And I think there are a lot of people out there that are sort of celebrating that news. I'm not one of them. He leaves behind a 4-year-old daughter, and I think Bill Belichick nailed this from the beginning when he was asked about the entire saga, how he would describe it, and he just said, it's a tragedy, and that's exactly what this is. If you've listened to ESPN Radio at all this morning and this afternoon, you know that they have covered this 6 ways from Sunday, and I don't think they're done with this, and you've got Aaron Hernandez's attorney that's saying he doesn't believe that he took his own life, that something nefarious took place here. And this is going to be an interesting story to follow here, but I have a feeling that ultimately they're not going to find anything here, that he did take his own life. Is it a coincidence that he did it on the day that his former team, the Patriots, visit the White House? I don't think so. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. And suicide is never the answer. I don't care whether you are a convicted murderer or not. It just sucks. And I've lost someone very close to me to suicide, and I think many people out there probably have as well. And I've had that in the back of my mind today. Do I want to talk about this? Do I want to bring this up? Or do I want to just let ESPN take the ball and run with this? I don't necessarily appreciate some of the coverage that they've been giving this and trying to get inside the motives, and then I think furthering this narrative that maybe he was killed, that he didn't commit suicide. Look, and then my favorite angle, the CTE, because everything has to be CTE related now. My thoughts are certainly with his four-year-old daughter. That was heartbreaking last week to see her interact with him in the courtroom, knowing that he was never going to be there for her as she grew up, and he still could have been a part of her life, even though he was behind bars. Now he's not going to be a part of her life, and that's absolutely terrible. Now there are some people out there that are saying that by killing himself, he's protected his family from whatever money he has left because Odin Lloyd's family can't get to it. I don't know whether that's at play here at all. The story certainly is a very tragic, and I think today also of DJ Hernandez, his brother, who was a graduate assistant on Kirk Ferentz's staff for a couple years and could not have been a nicer guy. And I just remember feeling how difficult it must have been for him because he looked like Aaron Hernandez, and there was no way that he could get away from people realizing who he was and who his brother was. And I think the last time that I read anything about him, he was operating a roofing company in the state of Texas somewhere. And he's not going by DJ Hernandez anymore. He's going by his actual name. And just absolutely a tragic end to what was a tragic story. Bill Belichick's words that I think sum that up quite eloquently. It is 6:52. We'll step aside for our final time tonight. When we come back, we'll get you one last Midwest One Bank Big Board update as Iowa prepares to take on the Bradley Braves tonight in Peoria. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back after this.
Back in the 1940s, if you told Willa Dickens that his future customers at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers could customize their engagement rings on something called his website, he would have likely said, "You were full of horse feathers." But, as they say, times change. Now you can visit HertineandStockerJewelers.com to see their exclusive designs from Gabriel & Company, along with beautiful creations from Luminar and Mercury. Customize your ring by selecting the precious metal, mounting, diamond size, and price right there. It's the perfect marriage of contemporary technology and classic service. And if you'd rather do things old school, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before our client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com to learn more.
Spring is in the air, which means it's shoulder season at Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino. Join us for a chance to shake the rust off your game at the year's very best prices. Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino is now open, and you'll save a bundle with shoulder season rates now through April 27th. Check out overnight stay and play packages and book your tee time online at BlueTopRidge.com or by calling 319-648-0044. Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino, Iowa's premier casino and golf destination, just south of Iowa City.
All right, guys, from the top again.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Tommy, that's not the song, man. Again.
Take me out of this garage.
Come on, man.
Cold drafts, root beers, nacho chips, and cheese. Girls to meet and a nice cool breeze.
Come on, dude.
dudes. Talk a field.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
Change up your summer with the Minnesota Twins. For tickets, go to twinsbaseball.com.
Those are always my favorite guests, the surprise guests. We'll tell you what we've got coming up on tomorrow's program after we get done with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, your last one of the evening. Iowa meeting the media today. Coordinators Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker, along with a surprise appearance by head coach Kirk Ferentz. A little bit of news to pass along. Drew Cook, no longer a quarterback. He is officially a tight end. And for the record, Kirk Ferentz is a fan of Iowa extending the series with Iowa State on the football field through 2023. He is not a fan of the NCAA proposing to do away with two-a-day practices. CBS Sports' John Rothstein reports that Memphis guard Markel Crawford plans to visit Iowa State sometime in the near future. The graduate transfer averaged 12.8 points a game last season for the Tigers. The Cedar Rapids Colonels lost to the Peoria Chiefs this afternoon at Dozer Park in downtown Peoria by the score of 15-3. The Cardinals affiliate rapped out 21 hits. Every member of the starting lineup had at least one hit. The Colonels are back home tomorrow night. They take on the Kane County Cougars. They are just about ready to get underway at Dozer Park between Iowa and Bradley. First pitch set for 7 o'clock tonight. The Hawkeyes have won 11 of their last 14 games. They're 6-0 in midweek games this year, winning 19 straight, dating back to the 2015 campaign. Drake Robeson draws the start tonight. Mark Morehouse possibly on the program.
Confirmed, 6:35.
6:30 tomorrow. Dan Kadar from Mocking the Draft, as we look forward to the NFL draft next week as well. Join us. Thanks for listening.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post that job to over 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use